Good stuff. So just for the recording's purposes, I just want to note that we were just watching a video from the Teaching Giant Killers. It's session 6 called Government for Giant Killers. So we just watched that session. So I did a transcript of it so I could just kind of go through what he said and just add our own hearts to it. You know, he talked about the great reformers had impact on the course of history because they believed that the Bible had practical applications. You know, and he talked about the Jesus movement where people, you know, saw that Jesus was coming, and so they just didn't go into the world. They stayed out of the judicial system. They didn't become lawyers and things like that. And because of that, we have this vacuum. You know, there's an understanding we need to have that the Bible has application in every area of our life. It has application in our judicial system. It has application in the business world. It has application in all those places. And the only, and these are the places where we can influence the world, not just from a pulpit, not just from evangelism, but that we are called, like he said, to be salt and light, to be in the world and not of it, but bringing influence everywhere we go, right? And one of the things that really struck me, because this is what I've seen myself, well, is the fact that the answer is not control. And that's what scares me sometimes, is I think that, you know, that we try to get into trying to control things, and that's not what God's called us to. Now, I'm not saying, like, I mean, if we watched, what, Red Dawn last night? Yeah, the movie?
There was a place of self-defense.
So we watched a movie last night, Red Dawn or whatever, and it was talk about the invasion of the country, right? I mean, there might be a place where we have to take up arms. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking until Jesus comes or until something like that happens, like, we need to remember we're called to be salt and light in this world and bring influence in every area. Like he talked about Joseph, Daniel, and Esther, right? They had tremendous influence over the nations that they served. They served the people at the top. And because the people recognized the anointing of God on their lives, they recognized the wisdom that came out of them in different situations. They had tremendous favor. God raised them up through the ranks as servants. And as they came up through the ranks, God positioned them to be right next to a leader that may not necessarily have been following God, but because this person had all this influence, they changed the destiny of the entire of nations. And that's what we are called to do. We're called to be raised up and influenced in all different areas of this culture and bring the influence of the kingdom, the wisdom of the kingdom. We need to have confidence in our word, the word of God that we have been given. He talked about wanting to shape the values of a culture. Again, not manipulation and control. And I love this, that he said the political and religious systems work through manipulation and control. Remember, we've talked about, you know, if you've been here, well, more than once, right? That Christianity is not a religion. We are the reality of the kingdom of God here on this earth. And the world tries to classify as a religion, but we are not a religion. Religion seeks to control people. The kingdom doesn't. Political systems seek to control people. The kingdom doesn't. The kingdom makes you aware of your destiny, your value, your purpose, and draws that out of you so that you can fulfill your calling here in this world, right? Through your relationship with God and Christ. It can only be done in God and Christ. But that's what the kingdom does. But religion is always seeking to control people. Politics is always seeking to control people. And so we can't resort to that. And this is, and forgive me because I'm going to tell this story. I know you've heard it multiple times, but some people here who haven't heard it before, this was my heart that I felt like the Lord showed me when I came to that whole thing with abortion. Again, I'll tell the story again. The movie Unplanned, if any of you haven't seen it, it's a movie about a woman who was very committed to Planned Parenthood. She was a Christian, very committed to Planned Parenthood, worked hard, was rising through the ranks. But one day she had to assist with an abortion. In doing that, she saw that she recognized that the child was alive. It's like God lifted the scales off her eyes, and she all of a sudden realized that abortion was murder. And so as a result of that, she changed her life. She became committed to pro-life, and she revealed what was the pollution behind what's going on in the abortion industry. And And so we'd watched that movie. I had watched it twice, once with the ladies here and then once with Randy. But I was coming out of the room, the theater, and there was this billboard for a movie, you know, a Disney movie about animals, and how if you bought a ticket, you know, some of the proceeds would go to save the animals. And I just was so struck by the irony of that. As I'm walking out of this room where we're talking about murdering children, here I stand in front of this thing saying, we're going to give you $2 to save the whales or whatever. And so, and I cried out in my heart. I mean, all of this happened inside. I just cried out in my heart. I was like, God, what is wrong? And he just, again, this all happened in my mind. I didn't have an open vision, but all of a sudden he just showed me this pool of stagnant water, right? This yucky stagnant water. And I knew that it represented abortion. And he said to me, look upstream. And so, again, in my mind's eye, I looked upstream, and what I could see was this cliff, right? And there's all these, there's water coming down off of the cliff, like a waterfall, and people are jumping off of it. And I knew what he was saying, that abortion is a symptom of people who don't know who they are. They don't know their value to God. They don't know they have a calling. They don't know they have a purpose. They don't know that he created them in his image and likeness. They don't know any of those things. They don't understand their value. They don't understand true intimacy and love, and so they're looking for it through sex, right? And so, and so the fruit of all of that is what abortion is. And so if we, and again, please hear me, we need to have godly laws. We need to not have abortion. Like we need that. Like I agree with that. And yet my concern is if we think that we can control this through a bunch of laws and it's going to go away, that's not going to happen. You know, I mean, Roe versus Wade was overturned. That's wonderful, but it's unleashed this other dragon. Right? I mean, now we have Supreme Court people who are being threatened with their lives. You know what I'm saying? And so again, we need to have laws in place to protect the life of unborn, and yet we need to understand that the real issue is they need to know Jesus Christ. The real answer is the gospel. Do we need laws in place until they can hear the gospel? Yes. We need laws in place. But that sin is going to continue to abound until people understand. It's just like Giselle said, like when she had a revelation of Jesus Christ, she instantly knew abortion was wrong. No one had to even tell her. She just knew. And that's when we have that relationship with the Lord, we know. And I get concerned sometimes that we as believers are starting to result to the man's way of trying to do things by trying to control these scary people. And if you remember anything from Keep Your Love On by Danny Silk or Culture of Honor, those books, like they people get scary, and so we try to control them, right? Instead of, I mean, we need to set healthy boundaries, we need to put laws in place, but our biggest call is to love and influence people. That's what we're called to, right? First Corinthians 15:56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So law, we need to understand that law, again, we need to have these laws in place. Don't walk out of here saying, I don't believe that. I know we need to have laws in place. And understand also, Scripture tells us that law actually strengthens sin. You know, it's like we were talking about yesterday. You know, the one, you have 100 buttons, and people tell you, but don't touch that one. Right? So what do you want to do? I want to touch that one. Right? That's the way it works. That's why God gave us the law. But what did the ultimate answer was what? Jesus Christ. Because the law can't control that, right? That thing just keep, that thing rises up. So we are called as salt. Salt draws out flavor, and we're to enhance what exists. That is why the kingdom is called leaven. Right. I get concerned too that we can get so caught up in trying to fix this problem this way that we miss the kingdom. We miss preaching the gospel. We miss loving people in the process. And the enemy's all too happy to have you distracted. He's all too happy to have all your energy go into this, and not take care of preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel with people and being salt and light. He talked about 1 Timothy chapter 2. And remember, Ephesus was an ungodly city. I mean, they literally had a temple in the middle of it where there was prostitution going on. We haven't gotten that bad. But, I mean, that's what they had in Ephesus. I mean, it was an ungodly city. And yet what Paul's instructions to Timothy were, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority. Right? So he's saying the first thing he's telling him to do is that he needs to be praying. He needs to be, he's doing entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings being made on behalf of the people who are in the leadership there. So that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness with dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So again, what we're having is if we live an authentic Christian life and we live as salt and leaven in the world, the way we live our life should influence and inspire the people around us to say, I see that how your life works differently. I see how your marriage, you really honor your spouse. I see the love you have between each other. I see the love that you have for your children. I see the way you operate in the workplace and the dignity that you carry. I see that you're really honest in everything and that I'm attracted to that. I want to know more about it. And that's when you can share the word with them, right? That's when you can share the gospel, the truth of the gospel with them. Again, it's not about controlling. He talked about Charles Wesley, and I had read about this. Charles Wesley and George Whitfield had been really good friends. But as they grew, again, as they grew in their relationships with the Lord and God understanding, they became very adversarial in certain areas as far as their perspectives on theology were. And this is what Charles was talking about, the fact that must we now in Christ with shame confess our love was greater when our light was less. And so I think to myself here, you know, I believe that we bring good teaching and good discernment of the word here in this church, right? But if that growth in the understanding of who we are in Christ and who and the kingdom of God, if that is causing us to hate the world more, there's a problem. There's a real problem. We're supposed to understand, what do we know? We know in Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. 2 Corinthians 10, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Like, we need to understand that we're not in a war with people. We're in the war with the enemy. And those people are captive, and you know, there but for the grace of God goes I. Because I was captive in that stuff before, you know, and I could have just as easily been walking down and that other path, but Christ, but Christ. And we need to remember that, and we need to, and so our growth in understanding of Scripture, our understanding of the light and the truth of who we are, who we were created to be, what the reality of the kingdom, how the kingdom operates, that should create in us a greater compassion, a greater love for the people that are so lost and deceived that they're doing things that, like he said, 10 years ago weren't even on our radar. You know, we talked in the parents class we had just yesterday, you know, or no, it wasn't. It was a friend we were with on Friday night saying, you know, could you imagine if you brought your grandmother back from the dead and had to explain to her that children now are choosing what sex they want to be and that there's now like 30 different pronouns. And I mean, like some of the stuff that's going on, like I said, like your grandmother, or at least my grandmother, I mean, yeah, I'm a little bit older. So, but my grandmother would be like, what in the world are you talking about? Right? I mean, where we've gone just in this short amount of time is just mind-blowing. But if we're using that to hate people, like, we're going the wrong direction. We're going the wrong direction. We need to walk in the truth of the word and the love and the compassion and the character of Christ. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. And so what I think my concern is that, and I'm not just talking, I'm talking about the church in general, right? I mean, not you guys. but I'm just concerned, like, do we really believe that prayer works? Do we really believe that worship works? Do we really believe that love never fails? Because if we're resorting to the world's way of trying to control this, that would say to me that we don't believe what we say. We don't believe that we can give thanksgiving and we can rejoice and pray without ceasing, and that what happens in our prayer room really works. That worshiping God and giving thanks, even if you don't agree with who's in leadership, but still praying for them, do we believe that works? Or do we have to resort to what the world does and just control everybody? You know what I'm saying? Like, do we believe, you know, I'm going to jump ahead here, but do we believe what Paul said? Because this has really been, I've been really meditating on this. Romans 1, right, 16. He says, I am not afraid of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Do we believe in the power of the gospel? Do we believe our message of Christ is enough? Do we believe that we can that we don't have to resort to the world's way of doing things to make change, but we can actually rely on what the Word tells us to do, warring in our prayer closets, speaking truth, living a life of integrity, being authentic in our walk with God, being transparent with people, loving people even when they're unlovely, and preaching the gospel, and believe that that is enough, that that really will do what God says it will do. Amen? Amen? We can't use the world's way of doing things. We say we believe in the Word, and we need to walk in the Word. He says, he talked about government more and more as wanting to control our lives to prevent bad things from happening. But government does not have an anointing from God to parent children. Government does not have that anointing. Government has the responsibility to protect and to empower. And that's where we see government crossing the lines. And so he takes that there's a spirit of insanity to influence the political system and the education system. Yes, but we never use truth as an example to hate or reject someone, but what we must do is hold the truth of scriptures. So we are not going to adjust what we believe about family. You do not have a right to come in and tell me how to raise my children. You do not have a right. I mean, he talks in the book about how it's insane that the school has to get parental permission to give your child an aspirin, but they can give them birth control and an abortion without you even knowing about it. That's not okay. That's just not okay. You don't have that right. And so we don't. I'm not talking about in any way, shape, or form us compromising what we know to be truth. We know we are, you know, God, if you have children, it's because God gave them to you, amen. Right? He gave them specifically to you. They are your children, and the government does not have a right to tell us how to educate them, right? We have the right to homeschool them. We have the right to raise them up in the way that they should go, you know, according to biblical standards. We have a right to run our family the way the Bible tells us to do. So we stand in that, and we set boundaries with the government. But again, we need to walk in truth in this, in love and compassion, not just going in and trying to strong arm everybody, because that's just the way they do things, and we're not going to resort to that. Amen? Amen. He talked about speaking the language of the people that you're with, and I see this a lot too, and I can remember even early in my walk with the Lord, I was watching something with John Hagee in it, and he was talking about declaring how Israel, the geographic borders of Israel, and how, you know, they were supposed to have this border and that border, and people were fighting over it. And he says, but the Bible says, and I just remember thinking, but if people don't respect the Bible, they really don't care what it says. but my Quran says this, right? I mean, we're just in a war of that. So we just need to understand that again, the Word is powerful, and we need to preach the truth of the Word of God, and yet we also need to use discernment of the Holy Spirit when we're with people who, when you say the Bible, will actually close you off immediately and won't hear what you have to say, right? So we need to use wisdom as to how to present truth to people without beating them with the Bible. It's important for us. So I love this where it says, he talked about truth always sets free. This is the beauty of the kingdom. Liberty is always the result. Religion always controls. Politics always controls. That is the aim, regardless of what anyone says. That is the aim of every movement outside the kingdom of God. Every movement outside of the kingdom of God is looking for some type of control. We know this. We saw this happen. We've seen this happen. Well, it's been happening for decades, and we just woke up to the fact that it's been happening for decades. But we especially saw it and became very evident with COVID, right? But if I can control your thoughts, if I can control what you read, if I control what you say, if I can control what you learn, then I can sure to make you come to a particular outcome, right? But that's not the kingdom. That's not the kingdom. And so the kingdom empowers you to see what you were born for, and that is our privilege of serving in our communities. You know, I was thinking about how God does things. You know, with Gideon, what did he do? He whittled down the army to a few people, a small army, to conquer, right? What did he do with the walls of Jericho, right? The walls of Jericho. I mean, who would have thought that you should circle them how many days, and then you should all shout, and the walls don't even tumble over. The walls sunk into the ground. So they didn't even have to climb over rubble. They just walked right in. But that's what I mean. The ways of God are so different than the world. And my concern is that as a Christian church, we're trying to grab onto the ways of the world to control things instead of the way God tells us to do things. And we need to seek the Lord as to how do we walk through these times that we are in. What is his way of handling this? Because that's the way of victory. What is his wisdom in all this? I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to resort to their tools and their ways of doing things. We want to do it the way the kingdom is, because that's the only way God will get exalted. Right? We were watching a video. Randy and I were watching it. And this is a video you can watch. I can't remember the man's name, the Jewish man. He's a Jewish man. I mean, he went in before the World Economic Forum. He has tremendous, I mean, you can look him up. I can, Harari is his last name. Yeah. So this man, I mean, he's blatantly open talking about all the genetic stuff that they can do. He's saying it's at the World Economic Forum and how they now have the ability to basically control people through their genes and take away their free will. I mean, this is like, he's very well respected. I'm not talking about some little nobody, whatever. He's very well respected. And I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, first of all, God's the one who gave you the free will to be able to choose that. He talks about the new God is the clouds of like IBM and Google and stuff. Like he doesn't believe in God. But I just, you know, I laughed at this because God laughs. Yes. You need to understand, you know, we know that there's the one world government and all that stuff going on right now, but God is laughing. Why are people concerned? God is laughing. He is laughing at their plans. He is laughing at it. Because they are going to bow the knee to him. Amen. I mean, go make your plans. Go for it, dude. He is laughing. Why are we afraid? Even if you take my life. Oh, well, I know where I'm going. You know, I mean, what are we afraid of? Yes, there are some really ugly, scary, ridiculous things going on right now. But remember, the enemy is always operating in defense. He's never on the offense. He's only acting because he knows what God is doing. And if the church would just wake up to what God is doing, they would hair-lip the devil. Right? We just need to be, and we need, again, we're not looking at the worldly ways of doing it. We're going to do it the way God wants us to do it. We're going to fight battles on our knees. We're going to fight battles in the prayer closets. We're going to fight battles praying in the Spirit, worshiping God, rejoicing, giving him glory, giving him praise. And they will bow the knee. They will bow the knee. We have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Amen. Again, Paul told Timothy to pray for kings and those in authority, and people in leadership in his day were some pretty scary people, Bill said. And to have someone model that, to give that instruction to us is important. Like this is what they did in that scary day, is that they were praying for them. We need to remember what we're the impact that we have on the nations, on the things to come. Like what you're doing now, again, having a perspective 100 years from now, your life matters. The people you touch matter. You can change generations. You know, I think about, and I had no clue about this. I just found this out a couple of years ago. But one of my ancestors, I think I may have shared this here, was a Dutch Reformed pastor, and he actually had house in his church. He had church in his house, and he was here in America, had come over from Holland. He wanted to preach in English, but the Dutch Reformed denomination wouldn't let him do that. And so he became Presbyterian so that he could preach in English. And I think about that because one of the things I do is I pray for the generations that come after us. And I think to myself, I wonder if he was praying for the generations that came after that, and that now I'm able to walk where I am because somebody decades ago prayed. You're where you are right now probably because somebody was praying for you. Somebody was praying for you. Somebody was thinking of you. Someone was not just worried about, you know, was their car bill and light bill going to be paid and were there going to be food on the table? Somebody was thinking beyond their own life, praying. And that's why every single one of us is sitting here. And are we taking the time to think generationally and what's going to happen decades from now? And are we planting the seeds and watering the seeds in the way God would have us do? Understanding that our weapons are mighty through God, our weapons of praise, our worship, weapons of worship, of prayer, of intercession, of declaration, our weapons of, you know, of love, because love never fails, right? Jesus died on the cross. That love never failed. And that's what I mean. Like, even if we die, love will never fail. And if we can walk in that, right, then we get give glory to God. But it's us doing that now to affect, yes, the world we're living in now, but the children, the generations to come, these children that we have the privilege of raising up in this household and demonstrating to them the influence that we can have because we follow Christ. We follow him. We're not doing things the way the world does. We do it the way he would have us do it. Amen. 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 Anyway, Jesus is returning, but I get concerned about the church today. I mean, people talk about the return of Christ, and he is returning, but I don't want to be like the Jesus movement. Because people are like, oh, well, you need to be in the closet. You need to make sure that you're not one of the five, you know, virgins that get left behind. You know, yes, we need to pray. We need to seek the Lord. We need to do all those things. We need to be out in this world telling them about Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Pastor Randy and I felt like this would really segue because one of the things that was really on my heart when I was home, when I wasn't getting ready for a message every week, one of the things that was really on my heart was I felt like the Lord was like really speaking to me about getting clear about what is the vision and mission of this church. And so I really spent time seeking him about that. And then, you know, Pastor Randy and I went over it and he agreed, and I took it to the board of directors and they've agreed with it as well. And so I just I never really felt impressed to get really clear about it before, but it was just really on my heart. And so I want to just talk about that for a minute because it really ends this, what we're talking about here, well. So we've always talked about the byline of this church is encounter Christ, know Christ, live Christ. And the purpose of that is, you need to encounter him. Hopefully you encountered him during worship today. Hopefully he spoke to you through what I'm saying today. Hopefully you encountered him, you know, yesterday. I mean, it's not the encounter you had 30 years ago. It's the encounter you have, like, all the time. And also that when people meet us, they encounter Christ. And it's knowing Christ. It's coming to know him and your relationship with him and grow in that. And then the product of encountering him and knowing him is that you live Christ, right? That our life outside of the world, outside in the world, demonstrates him. So, but what we felt like the vision for this church is that the world may know that God sent Jesus Christ, his son. So the vision is global, like it's big, right? And so what our overall vision is that the world may know that God sent Jesus Christ, his son. That's right. This is everything we want them to know. And that's John 17:23. The mission is how we at this church are going to do that. And so this is the mission. We believe that we owe the world an encounter with God. Therefore, we will create and sustain a church culture that honors God, His Word, His Spirit, and His people. We will equip the saints to know Him deeply, fulfill their purpose in Him, demonstrate the reality of the kingdom of God to the world, and live to reveal Him. Amen. I think that we owe the world an encounter with God, not a religion. They've encountered religion way too many times. And that's why they're like this when you say Jesus or they say the Bible. They're like, nope, because they've encountered religion. No, we owe the world an encounter with God, the living God that we've come to know. That's what we owe them, right? And therefore, as a church family, right, we create and sustain a church culture that honors God, His Word, which is also Jesus, right, His Spirit and His people. And we equip the saints to know, to have, first of all, a personal relationship with Him, to fulfill their purpose in Him, and demonstrate the reality. Signs, wonders, and miracles following those who believe. We demonstrate, and we live the character of it, too, that demonstrates the reality of the kingdom of God. And we live, we see, you know, how you answer the phone and talk to a person on the phone matters. How you treat the clerk that's at Walmart matters. Like, all of it matters, because all of it is our opportunity to demonstrate the reality of the kingdom of God and who Jesus is. There isn't a moment in your life that you don't have the opportunity to reveal Christ to someone. Amen. There's nothing that you do. You can do laundry to reveal Christ. You know, everything we do to reveal Him, to glorify Him, because He lives in us. Why? Because we are righteous, because we are holy, because we have been set apart, because we do live in the kingdom of God. And because of that, we can do everything different than the way the world does. And so I did give this to the new member class that met last week, but this is our mission. And so Pastor Randy and I are really praying into this. Because we're over the next couple of months, it's like, Lord, I just feel like we're going through this shift of aligning ourselves up. And I felt like He was like, the first thing we needed to get straight was, what was this? And like I said, a couple of months ago, this was coming forward and we went to the board and they approved it. So this is where we're going. And I just feel like there's a shift going on. He's calibrating us. We're running in the right direction. It's not that we're going in the right direction, but He's calibrating things. He's fine-tuning things. And this had to happen first, right? This had to happen first. Where are we going? And now it's like lining things up so that we know the target, right? And we can shoot. The guys all appreciate that. So there's that. Now, I wanted to everyone say, I love my pastor. I love my pastor. So in light of that, I just wanted to just bring something to your attention. So one of the things that's really important in all this is unity. We cannot accomplish this if we're not in unity. We have to be of one accord, of one mind. And just because I'm a pastor and I keep my ears to the, or Pastor Randy and I keep our ears to the grindstone, we just are concerned that it seems like there's a little bit of offense running around. And we don't do offense in this church. Amen. We don't do offense. It just isn't an option. First of all, you need to understand that offense is a choice, right? And if something nobody comes to this church with the purpose of hurting anybody, offending anybody, or anything like that. And so it's just, when we come, we need to give people the benefit of the doubt. If we have an issue with something, the first person we go to about it is God. You first go to God and see what He says about that, right? And then if He says to pursue it, we pursue it not with the other people in the church. You go to the person and you resolve things there. And if for some reason it doesn't get resolved there, then you come to the leadership and get us involved, and we will, it's Keep Your Love On. We went through Keep Your Love On. It's a foundation to this church. We went through Kingdom of Culture. It's a foundation to this church. But it's just really important, because let me tell you, the enemy, we've had, and you're all aware, the Lord has spoken amazing prophetic words over this church. But the number one way the enemy will stop that is to cause division. We include, we don't exclude. You know, we've worked really hard in our men's ministry and women's ministry to not have cliques in this church. We don't do cliques. We don't do that. We include people. We don't exclude them. If we have issues, we don't talk to everybody else about it. We talk to the person. And so just a loving reminder of what our goals are, right? How many want to see this happen? How many want to be a part of this? Okay? Then you're not, you make it right now. I will not be offended. I will. Amen. If you have issues with Pastor Randy and I, come talk to us. Most things are misunderstanding, but come to us. Come to us. Talk to us. We'll talk it out. We have changed the way we do things because people in the church have come to us and made suggestions. I think there's ways that the Lord tests our humility. Are we willing to take suggestions from people in the church? Because sometimes people get so far beyond that they're not willing to. No, we're willing to. We don't have all the wisdom in the world. We have Jesus, right? And so there's things that you may see that we didn't see. So please come talk to us. But we don't get offended. We don't get offended, okay? Okay. I love my pastor. I love my pastor. Or maybe you're offended at what I just said. I don't know. Anyway, just love you guys. We're really excited. Just felt like this video was just a jumping off point for us to share. Pastor Randy said, we need to share the vision, the new vision and mission today. And so we felt it was a really jumping off point. And so just wanted to share that with you. I love you all. Bye-bye. Pastor Randy is going to do communion.